I read to you from Psalm 18 verses 28 to 50. Psalm 18 verses 28 to 50. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Remember that David wrote the psalm of praise and victory, on the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And we said that the Hebrew language contains 23 different words for deliverance, and the Jewish people definitely knew something about deliverance. Throughout their history, God had delivered them. So how do we experience deliverance? Psalm 18 tells us how we can experience deliverance. Verses 1 to 18, we see God delivers us when we call upon him. Verses 19 to 27, we see God rewards us when we obey him. And verses 28 to 45, God equips us when we submit to him. Verses 46 to 50, God is glorified when we worship him. Now we looked up to verse 27 last time, and we will go on to study the rest of the psalm today. Verses 28 to 45, God equips us when we submit to him. We saw how for several years David had been forced to live in confined places. He was fleeing from King Saul. And those confined places were definitely not easy to live in, and David fled to many a cave to save his life. Now, what was God accomplishing during those difficult years of the reign of King Saul? One thing is very clear. Number one, God was disciplining his people Israel for running ahead of him and making King Saul king. Israel wanted a king ahead of God's timing, and they actually pestered Samuel to ask God to give them a king. They pestered God actually to give them a king like the nations. They actually wanted a king like the nations, like the kings of the other nations. And God consented to their request to discipline them. God was actually going to give them a king. the king who would rule according to God's own heart. But Israel wanted a king like the nations. And so Israel came to Samuel the prophet and said in 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 5, "Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." 1 Samuel 8 verses 6 to 7, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them.'" You see that? "They have rejected me from being king over them." They wanted a king like the kings of the nations. Later on, God tells them through the prophet Hosea, in Hosea chapter 13 verses 10 and 11, "Where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where are all your rulers, those of whom you said, 'Give me a king and princes'? I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath." Number two, at the same time, while all this was happening, King Saul was reigning, God was equipping David for his years of service as king of Israel. You see, God takes time to prepare his servants. He took 13 years for Joseph. He took 40 years for Moses. And he took 40 years for Joshua. And the lessons that David learned about himself and about God during those difficult years, those years of exile, that helped in making David the man that he was. And you see in verses 28 to 45, the images in verses 28 to 45 of Psalm 18, it reveals God developing a great warrior, a compassionate leader, and a godly man. Psalm 18 verse 28, "For it is you who light my lamp." David's dependence was entirely on the Lord. "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." Now the image of the lamp in this verse, the image of the lamp speaks of God's grace in keeping David alive during those dangerous years. In Job chapter 18 verses 5 to 6, "Indeed the light of the wicked is put out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp above him is put out." Proverbs 13 verse 9, "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out." So the lamp actually is life. The image of the lamp also speaks about permanency of David's family and David's dynasty. Psalm 132 verse 17, "There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed." 2 Samuel 21 verses 15 to 17, "There was war again between Philistines and Israel, and David went down together with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines, and David grew weary. And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze, and who was armed with a new sword, thought to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid, and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, 'You shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel.'" The prophet Ahijah, he spoke to Jeroboam regarding the kingdom that was going to be divided because of the sins of Solomon and the people of Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 11 verses 30 to 32, 1 Kings 11, 30 to 32. "Then Ahijah laid hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, 'Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel.'" Even in his wrath, God was merciful to Israel because of his covenant with David. In 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 36, "Yet to his son I will give one tribe, that David my servant may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem the city where I have chosen to put my name. 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Again, 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 19. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David his servant, since he promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. Mark those words, forever. 2 Chronicles 21 verse 7. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. So the image of this lamp speaks of the perpetuity of David's family, David's dynasty. And this culminates in the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 33 we read, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." So if you see this culminating in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, David trusted God. And God equipped David to run, to leap, to fight and defeat the enemy. When we get close to the heart of God, that's what God does for us. He does the same that he did for David. He teaches us and he equips us to get involved in spiritual warfare against the enemy. Psalm 18 verse 29. "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." Remember that the battles that David fought were the battles of the Lord. And today you and I fight those battles against the enemy. Psalm 18 verse 29. "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." Psalm 18 verses 32 to 34. "The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Psalm 18 verses 37 to 45. "I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses." You see, David could run through a troop. He could scale a wall. He could leap like a deer up the mountains. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 19. "God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." So we must also realize that all of this, you see, all of these battles that David fought, this is not a glorification of war. God trained David to fight God's own battles. Psalm 18 verse 34. "He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Why? Because God was training David to fight God's battles. God trained David for battle so that he could protect Israel. That was what God was doing through David. God trained David for battle so that he could protect the nation of Israel, the chosen nation, so that Israel could accomplish God's purposes on earth. And David did not invade other countries just to add territory to his kingdom. Whatever land David gained was the result of his defeating the armies that first attacked Israel. Now, what can we as believers in Christ glean from this war passage? You and I, we are involved in a spiritual battle. I always keep saying this. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battlefield. There is territory that has been lost because of sin. And we are now standing on victory ground. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and now we are in the kingdom of light. We must recognize that there is still territory that is lost because of sin. And we now need to conquer. We are to regain the lost ground. And the Lord is teaching us to fight our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the three enemies. And we need to learn to constantly put on the armor of God, the armor that God gives us, and aggressively be involved. I repeat again, aggressively be involved in spiritual warfare. Because He has equipped us for war. And we need to therefore be diligent and put on the whole armor of God and step into the battle. And that battle is described in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 20. And we need to become spiritual prayer warriors and learn to pray petition prayers. When we talk to God, that is prayer. That is petition prayer. Speaking to God, telling Him our needs. But then we also need to pray command prayers to the enemy. Petition prayers, speaking to God. Command prayers in the name of Jesus, commanding the enemy to flee. We need to engage ourselves in spiritual warfare, especially in a time like this. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 tells us, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are reminded of what Uriah the Hittite told King David when David called him back from the battlefield after having committed adultery with Uriah's wife Bathsheba. And then he's telling, in fact, David is telling Uriah why, he's asking Uriah why he does not go, he's not going back to his home to go to sleep in his house with his wife. And you know what Uriah says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 10 to 11. When they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, "Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field." That's the battlefield. "Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Look at his faithfulness and his consistency and how he persists in fighting the battles of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. This is what we are called to do. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The Amplified Classic Version says, all manner of prayer. The NIV says, all kinds of prayer. Prayer is basically talking to God. Command prayers are exercising authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And that's how we overcome the enemy. Remember Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. So we overcome the enemy in prayer. We fight the enemy in prayer. David was a man of war, but he recognized that it was God's gentleness that made him what he was. In Psalm 18 verse 35, we read, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." Your gentleness made me great. You see, the Lord had stooped down and reached down to save David. Pick me up. He pulled me out of the desolate pit, David says in Psalm 40. In Psalm 18 verse 16, "He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters." Then the Lord lifted David to the throne. And we see that in Psalm 18 verses 39 to 45. And this reminds us of what Jesus, the root of David and son of David, did when he stepped down to come into this earth as a servant to die for our sins. And he included us in all that he did. And thereby he delivered us from the domain, from the pit of darkness. And he has raised us up and he has seated us with him. And he is seated far above all rule, authority, power and dominion. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is why the enemy flees when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we command him to flee in the name of Jesus. Now, because David was so submissive to the Lord, God could trust him with authority and the glory of the throne. Only those who are under authority should exercise authority. If you are not living under the yoke of God's authority, you cannot exercise authority. Therefore, James tells us in James chapter 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That means submitting to God's authority. Then resisting the devil. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now we come to Psalm 18 verses 46 to 50. God is glorified when we worship him. God is glorified when we worship him. Psalm 18 verses 46 to 50. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Now David closes this long psalm with doxology, which means praise and worship. That's how he closes the psalm. Psalm 18 verse 46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Now David had been a fugitive. He was hunted by Saul and Saul's army. He had been waiting for the day when he could ascend to the throne. Remember verse 1 of the psalm, Psalm 18 verse 1. To the choir master, Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now that day had come, and how did he respond? I suppose some of us would have said, well, my enemies are now gone. Now I can do what I please. My battles are over. I've been put in a large place. So watch out, everybody. Here I come. That is pride. That is not praise. But David didn't have that attitude of pride. He gave all glory to God. He ended his song with a hymn of praise to the one who had delivered him. Psalm 18 verse 49. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Here is David, a Jew, saying, I want these Gentiles to know how great my God is. Remember that David did not take things into his own hands. David did not kill King Saul, although he had two easy opportunities to kill Saul. He knew that the Lord would replace Saul and make him king, because Samuel had prophesied that. But David waited for God's time to do it. And this is a very important principle in life. We must learn to rest in the sovereignty of God and never seek vengeance on those who harm us, and trust God for his timing. Don't do things like Israel did, wanting a king like the king of the nations, comparing themselves to the rest of the nations, wanting a king like the rest of the nations. You see, they were jumping ahead of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, Paul is telling us, recognize who the real enemy is. Don't think that the real enemy is the person whom you're seeing with your eyes. No. The real enemy is actually using that person and his body as a tool. So the real enemy is the devil behind that person. Don't think that the real enemy is that person whom you see with your physical eyes. It's a spiritual battle that we need to fight. These people are just puppets in the hands of the enemy. So we need to bind those forces of darkness that are holding these people in captivity in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits of darkness and we exercise. That is how we exercise our authority in Christ. And when we do so in prayer, what happens? We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives. And what happens? The hold that the enemy has over their lives, the legal right that the enemy has over their lives is broken by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. In Psalm 18 verses 47 to 48 we read, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. The writer to the Hebrews writes to the early Christians, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34. For you did sympathize and suffer along with those who were imprisoned, and you bore cheerfully the plundering of your belongings and confiscation of your property, in the knowledge and consciousness that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. In Psalm 18 verse 49 we read, for this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Paul quotes Psalm 18 verse 49 in Romans chapter 15 verse 9. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Here is David, a Jew, saying, I want these Gentiles to know how great my God is. And Paul applied this verse to the Jews, praising God among the Gentiles. In Romans 15 verses 10 to 11, the Jews and Gentiles rejoiced together. And this was a result of Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 15 verses 10 to 11. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And let all the peoples extol him. Then in Romans chapter 15 verse 12. The apostle Paul announces the reign of Christ over both Jew and Gentile. Romans 15 verse 12. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. So when you know the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord, and you see people around you who are under the clutches of the evil one, sometimes they attack you, sometimes they take away even your goods, and they accuse you falsely. All this is happening right now in our country. What do? We fight this battle in the spiritual realm in prayer. And we will see the victory. In the book of Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire. And his resting place shall be glorious. In Isaiah 11 verse 12. He will raise a signal for the nations, and will assemble the banished of Israel, and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So here was David saying, in Psalm 18 verse 49, I want these Gentiles to know how great my God is. So how concerned are we of letting the nations know, people of this world know, how great our God is? Are we really concerned about that? Are we burdened enough to share the gospel with the lost world? Yes, it's not easy. We may have to go through suffering to do so. If the Lord has saved us, we should be telling other people of what God has done for us. And that should be our primary focus in life. The climax of the psalm is in verse 50. Psalm 18, verse 50. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. David is exalting the Lord for his covenant with him and his descendants. The covenant was made, remember, in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Little children, they often use their own names when they ask for something. Little children, they'll always say, they'll put their name in it. Like Johnny, when he asks for a chocolate, he will say, Johnny wants a chocolate. David uses his own name just like this, here, like a child. In his prayer, after hearing the covenant, David prays in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 20. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Then we see that David uses the word forever in Psalm 18, verse 50. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And this is the kingdom that God wants us to seek. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we read Jesus saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So don't live for the things of this world. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will provide every need of yours, but seek his purposes. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. How do we respond after a victory? So often we fail, isn't it, to exalt the Lord. Don't we do that? We trust in a living God who loves us, who delivers us, and he protects us. He alone deserves all praise and worship. Have we given God the glory for our victories? Are we involved in spiritual battle, and are we experiencing victory? Let's look to the Lord in prayer.